Isaiah chapter 11. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Isaiah chapter 11. I'm already there because I had it marked. And we will be reading the first five verses of Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This is from earthsky.org. Very interesting little thing about trees. A tree is actually the branches, and we just talked about that. A tree branch's job is to provide a way for tree leaves to act as a net for sunlight. Tree branches will grow to give the most leaves the most light, even if that means growing sideways. Trees need light for photosynthesis, which is how green plants generate their energy. There are other factors that affect the way branches grow as well. Gravity pulls the branches downward, as you might expect. And branch growth is affected by the wind. Part of the trade-off any tree has to make is between gathering light, staying stable in the wind, and succeeding against nearby competitors. So when branches grow crookedly, that's part of a tree's overall survival strategy. Trees have sensors that detect light and gravity. From the moment a tree begins its life, it knows which end is up. Trees will generally attempt to grow toward the light and away from gravitational pull. But as a tree gets older, its branches tend to grow more outwards than upwards. That's so the tree can cast a wider net to catch the light of the sun. That was from Dr. Robert B. Jackson of Duke University. Don't get ahead of me. Like trees, it is a great truth that all things grow. Now, we may not think they grow, but they actually do grow. Now, I've told you this before. My granddaughter Sophie from China has fused ribs. And she's about this tall, and that's as tall as she'll ever get, according to the doctor. She's 16 years old now. She tells us, "I am so tired of being small." And you can imagine what it's like. She has her learner's permit, but she hasn't started learning because they still have to buy extenders for the gas pedal and brake pedal and all. So and that's a whole other story, but I'm not going there. But anyway, they have to do this. But she is tired of being small. But you know what? She is growing. She is growing in her mind. She's growing in her spirit. And that's growth as well. When we're young, growing up is something we all look forward to, isn't it? I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be grown up. I wanted to grow up and be bigger. But the older we get, the more we realize how difficult a task it actually is to grow up. It's not just how tall we are physically, it's how tall we become emotionally and spiritually as we grow. Growing up is not easy. He should be listening to this. Growing up is not easy. It takes persistence, and it takes patience. You know what else growing up takes? It takes a willingness to put other people first. It takes a willingness to not just focus on ourselves. Growing up doesn't mean that we have to stop having fun. Growing up doesn't mean we stop telling jokes, even bad ones. Growing up does not mean that we have to stop running barefoot on the beach, unless there are jellyfish around. But it does mean that we have to look at our actions and that we have to consider how those actions affect our life overall and the lives of others with whom we come in contact. Growing means that we begin to take responsibility for ourselves and take responsibility for our actions and for the lives of others around us. That's part of growing up. Now, when you think about that branch that Isaiah talked about growing, mentioned in Isaiah, and of course the branch is a prophecy of Jesus, we can project that to the church. And I think it's very fitting and appropriate. You must have read my mind that James was talking about the church. as he was praying this morning. You can look at the church and how it grows. And that's the subject I wanted to talk about this morning, how to grow a church. There have been hundreds of books that have been written on this subject over the centuries. You know, for years, people have talked about how do we grow a church? How do we do this? How do we do that? We all want to see the church grow, don't we? We want to see this church grow in this community. But it isn't about packing pews or chairs in the case of this particular community. It isn't about building a bigger building necessarily. That's how the world looks at it. I have a good example of that. There were many years ago when I was working at GTE Viznet, it was over in Norcross. And when I was going to work, I had to go through the city of Norcross. And there was this old church building standing there. And I passed by that thing every day for months, years actually. One day I passed by there and there was a sign by there. And there was a sign out front, and apparently the congregation had decided that they needed to move someplace else. And the sign said, Historic Church for Sale. Now, we all know what that meant. They meant that the historic church building was for sale. That's what they were trying to sell. But it was very ironic that that sign was in front of that particular building. It housed a congregation of a well-known denomination, one that has been around since the years of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. The people that began that denomination did so in a spirit of obedience to the Word of God. They went back to the Bible and tried to do things the Bible way. But they tried to do things as God would have them to say in His Word, but as it always is, people sometimes get a hold of what that is and they start to smudge God's Word a little bit. You know how that goes. The founder's followers began to throw out some of their own ideas and the way they thought about things. The movement took on a strictly human name. It was a phrase for the way that they did their activities that the world kind of put on them. Before long, they began to take on the trappings of all the other denominations around. And today, the group is light years away from where their founders had wanted it to be. They have compromised on all kinds of issues. They have bent and twisted the Word of God to fit today's morals and today's mores. Historic church for sale. How appropriate to put that in front of that building. A rich history of love for God and love of His Word, but they have sold their soul so that they can be accepted by the world and so they can get people into the building. And sometimes that's the way it is. Getting more people to come to the congregation and building a bigger building are noble ideas. Those are both noble ideas. But that should be the result of what we're doing, not the goal, not the main goal. So how do you grow a church? Well, if you want to grow a church, you have to have an instruction manual, don't you? And I think we have a very good one. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul kind of told us how we can grow a church, how we can build a church, how we can work this thing. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, starting in verse 1, he kind of personalizes the growth. Because we are the church, and so that has to begin with us. So in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Walk worthy of the calling. We've heard that word a lot of times, haven't we? Worthy. What does it mean to be worthy of something? You know, sometimes we even tell our children that, not in that particular word, but, you know, make us proud. Make us do all that. Walk worthy of the name of this family. We need to look at our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, first of all, as part of the Lord's body, as part of the church, are we living a godly life? Are we doing the things that we need to do? Am I following after righteousness? Am I struggling to attain righteousness in this life? Am I doing the things that God would have me to do? Am I doing things that put God in a bad light? Am I walking worthy of my vocation? I've got to understand that it's not just my life. I have to understand that it is my life. This is my life. I'm a Christian. And that's in my life. And people know that. Being a Christian is not just a job. It's a lifestyle. Remember years ago when the U.S. Navy had the commercial, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. And it was true. You get on a ship. Well, some people got on a ship. Not everybody. Did you ever get on a ship? You got on ships. You know, you go out and you sail to all these wonderful ports and all these things, and you get to scrape barnacles off the ship. You do all this stuff, you know. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. But you know, in the back of every sailor's mind has to be this thought, I might be called upon to put my life on the line for my country. That's part of my life right now. And being a Christian is not just a job, it is a lifestyle. It's who I am. I am a child of God. I am a follower of Christ. And so I need to walk worthy of that. I need to show the world who I am. The next verse, you walk worthy of the calling and the vocation with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Do the things that you do in a spirit of meekness. Don't call attention to yourself. Don't make yourself more than you are. Remember that without Christ, we are nothing. We are just here. We need to be patient with people. We need to be understanding. And that goes especially for my brothers and sisters. No matter how upset I get with you, I still have to forgive you. And no matter how upset you get with me, you still have to forgive me. You know, we have to have that in our lives. We have to have that patience and that understanding. And we need to keep the faith as well as, keep the peace rather, as well as keeping the faith. In the third through the sixth verses, Paul says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, he's talked about these personal things, and he's ended up by telling us who the King is. And when we think about the fact that we are the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ, then we need to remember that we are the body, and Christ is the head. No one died and made me king, no matter how much I might think that. In fact, someone died to prove he is the King, and not just the King of the church, but the King of my life. We sing that song, don't we? King of my life. I don't remember the rest of the words, but we sing that song. Do we really believe it? Do we really follow that? Don't forget the hope of heaven. Don't forget the grace that was given to you. And don't forget that you are part of his body and he is the head. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and 5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. One body is what we are. Remember that you are an important part of the body. Think about what I just said. You, personally you, are important to the body of Christ. No matter how unimportant you think you are important. You are here for a purpose. Listen to the next verses, and I'm going to read these from the Living Translation, beginning in the 11th verse, because it has a little different reading. Some of us have been given special ability as apostles. To others, he has given the gift of being able to preach well. Some have special ability in winning people to Christ, helping them to trust him as their Savior. Still others have a gift for caring for God's people as a shepherd does his sheep, leading and teaching in the way of God, ways of God. Why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity, until finally we all believe alike about our salvation and about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full grown in the Lord, yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. Notice that Paul, one thing that Paul says here, God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, to build the church to a position of strength and ability. We all have special abilities, and we should use the abilities we have as much as we possibly can for the Lord. But we should also endeavor to teach those abilities to others who might want to learn. Have you ever thought about that? You have a special talent, and you use your special talent. Have you ever thought about teaching it to someone else? Helping them develop that talent. We do that all the time in the business world, you know. You want to learn different things. I've learned all kinds. I used to be a stripper many years ago. I always like to say that. It was printing. It's okay. It didn't involve anything in a club. I was a stripper. But, I was in printing. I was in radio. I did all kinds of things in my life. I have continued to learn, and I've continued to grow, and those are things I've passed along to my children. And if nothing else in my life, I've given my children a work ethic, and that's a nice thing to do. But the thing about it is, we all learn in our lives, and we want to teach other people those things. We have abilities in our lives, talents that we have that we can teach others. Maybe you were here at Watkinsville or at Central Oconee, Watkinsville, to help others learn to be better listeners. I said, maybe you're here to help people be better listeners. Maybe you're here to help others be better communicators. Maybe your task is to help others overcome shyness at talking to other people about the Lord. It requires that we change our thinking. We need to stop thinking, I'm here because I like the people that are here. Although that's okay to do that. But you're not here because you like the people. You're not here because you enjoy the worship service, whatever it might be. Here's what you need to start thinking. I'm here because God placed me here for a reason. He put me here for a reason. And we need to find out what the reason is. And then we need to use our talents for others. We need to use our talents for God. You know, last week we talked about choices in the lesson. To be here, we had a choice. Why did we choose it? Personal fulfillment? Or maybe God's work? Look at it this way. Maybe you didn't choose to be here. Maybe God chose to lead you here. It puts a whole new spin on it, doesn't it? God trusts you. And God wants you here to use your talents in Oconee County, in a Bishop, in Watkinsville, Athens, wherever. Whatever it is, God gave you your ability. And it's there to grow the church. You begin by growing yourself. It started when we were first children. You remember, what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We started off that way. And we're continuing to grow day by day as we learn more about the word of God. And that is helping to grow the church the more we do that. Francis Bacon once said this. He said, some books are to be tasted, others to be swallowed, and some few to be chewed and digested. That is, some books are to be read only in parts, others to be read but not curiously, and some few to be read wholly and with diligence and attention. It is our task, if we want to grow the church, to learn how to digest the Word of God, to ingest it and digest it, so that we can take that into our hearts, that we can take that into our lives. Then we can do what else Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that was a natural thing to say for Peter to say these things. It was a lesson that he had learned many times over as he had followed Christ. He had learned it from the master teacher. I mention a lot. Paul a lot, and the reason, or Peter a lot, and the reason I mention Peter so much is because I identify with Peter. I've never walked on water. I think I do sometimes, but I don't really. But I identify with Peter because Peter fell and he got up, and Peter fell and he got up. Sometimes I fall short. Sometimes I do some really dumb things. Sometimes I let my temper get away from me. I let the world get in the way. Sometimes my faith just is not strong enough. I am like the man that James describes in chapter 1 and verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I forget what type of man I am sometimes. It's easy to do because we're all human. But the beauty of what the Lord has done is he's given us a guidebook that we can look to, that we can read, that we can find ourselves in, that we can begin to understand how I can be better, what kind of a foundation I can build the church on based on the type of person that I am, based on the type of based on the way that I do things and the way that I live to help the church itself grow. And the beauty of this is that the Lord has given us the church. He has set up his body, a body of believers. Just like I said in the brochure there, we are a body of believers. Each of us is individuals, and each of us has our own unique talents. But as Paul says, I started to say Peter, I'm getting Peter and Paul confused in this lesson, sorry. As he says in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are joined and knit together. Have you ever thought about those words, joined, and not just joined, but knit together? We are like this. We should be. This is the way we should be. If we're working the way Jesus wants, as Paul says, we will be fitly joined together. Then we can overcome those individual times of adversity, pain, doubt, and fear by learning to lean on our brothers and sisters. Judy, you were going through a terrible time with your granddaughter. Did you a lot of good to know people were praying for you, specifically for your granddaughter. Same thing with things going on in everybody's lives here. Mine too. How much do you think it affects Jeremy to know that we are praying for him as he goes to the Philippines? And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We edify each other. We comfort each other. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other as brothers and sisters in the good times and in the lean times. And when that happens, guess what? The church grows. It may not grow in number, but it grows in strength. And that will eventually help with the other way. You know, since the early 60s and Madeline Murray O'Hare, there have been a lot of talk about prayer in school and about the Ten Commandments and all that, and about putting the Ten Commandments on the walls of the schools. And there have been some groups that even put out book covers that have the Ten Commandments written on them. And some groups offer those for free, which is kind of interesting that they would do that, because usually they sell those kind of things. There have been a lot of people who've spent a lot of money on this issue. Roy Moore in Alabama has made a career out of defying the federal government in the United States of America by his decisions on the Ten Commandments on the stone. But listen to what Romans chapter 2, verses 13 and 15 says. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Instead of worrying about words on stone, we should be worried about how deeply the commandments are etched in our hearts. We should worry about how deeply the words of God are etched in our hearts. Notice, by the way, that Paul is talking about Gentiles here. These were people who didn't have the law, but they knew what they should and should not do. People know what they should not and should not do, but they just ignore it sometimes. What if I etched something like this on my heart? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What if that was etched on my heart? And what if every time I was confronted with a question and an issue and a problem, and I, as like I said this morning, if I wanted to be furious with someone, what if every time I looked at the words on my heart and understood what God wanted me to do? Would that grow the church? Would that grow me? Would that grow the church? Would it help in doing those types of things? That first command right there is what's going to help us grow the church. When we love God, we will learn to love our neighbors. And when we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we'll be able to follow the second great command that is given to us, and that's in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You've heard those words a million times. I've been told a million times not to exaggerate, but you've heard those words over and over and over and over and over and over again in your lives. Have you taken them into your heart? Have you etched them into your hearts? People died in those tornadoes. How many of them died without Jesus? How many of them could have been told about Jesus, but somebody didn't want to do it? Or somebody didn't want to help somebody else to do something like that? See, those are things we need to think about. God, you know, we talked about Esther this morning in the lesson. God put you where you are for a reason. If you want to, you can just blow that off and say, I don't care about that. Or you can say, God put me here for a reason. God put this person in my life for a reason. God put me in this situation for a reason. And I'm going to do something for Him because I have His word etched in my heart. Following that command, following all those commands, will make this church, will make us grow. And it's also going to make this congregation grow. And there's a separation there, by the way, church, congregation. We're a congregation of the church. We'll grow. And that's when we'll need a bigger building. Might even need more chairs. We won't have room for the tables back there. You know, I asked this question last week in the men's thing before we came in here. I should have asked it then, but I'm going to ask it right now. I want you to think. I'm going to give you 10 or 15 seconds to think about this. Where do you see this congregation in 5 years? Where do you, I mean, honestly see this congregation in 5 years? Where do you think the congregation will be? Where do you want it to be? Where do you think God wants this congregation to be in 5 years? The passage in Isaiah talked about that branch, which is, of course, Jesus. But when we think of it as the church, His body here on earth, we have to think about it in the context of that tree that grows that I talked about in the beginning of the lesson. What was it the article said? A tree's branch's job is to provide a way for tree leaves to act as a net for the sunlight. Think of it as sunlight, as in the light of the Son of God. The branch sprouts leaves, Christians, who pull light from the sun to feed the tree. But as the tree grows older, its branches tend to grow more outwards than upwards. That's so the tree can cast a wider net to catch the light of the sun. Think about that for a moment. They grow outward. And that's what God wants us to do with this branch here, to grow outward, to provide the light of the sun for more people out there, and to help the tree grow. Are we spreading our branches outward? Are we casting a wider net to catch the light of the sun? How much oxygen does this tree give to the people around us? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Isaiah said, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. How do we grow the church? We begin by growing ourselves, taking in the sunlight, if you will, and passing that on to this tree and to others around us. This is a quote I read this week from Ravi Zacharias. There are no unique postures and times and limitations that restrict our access to God. My relationship with God is intimate and personal. The Christian does not go into the temple to worship. The Christian takes the temple with him or her. Jesus lifts us beyond the building and pays us the highest compliment by making it his dwelling place, the place where he meets us. God meets us here in our hearts. God is with us here. We worship this God when we're here, but God is with us at all times. When we leave this place, he's still with us. And that's who we need to be sharing with other people. That's the light that we need to be sharing with them, the sunlight. So that's what I would challenge all of us to do, to be thinking of those things. You were put here for a reason. Find out what the reason is. And make an impact for Jesus that way. This congregation will grow. Where are you going to be in 5 years? You don't know. But you need to think about that. This morning, if you have a need to answer an invitation, we're going to offer that to you right now while we stand and sing.